If you were going fishing, or if you were just having a joyride or long driving, you need to inspect your vehicle, because you need to be sure that you are riding on a vehicle where it is safe and enjoy your ride. First thing, which part of your vehicle you are concerned to inspect as most important? Which is it? Which part of your vehicle is the most important? Is it the wheel or the seat? Make sure that your seat has cushion or aircon or even heater. Is it the AC, air conditioning, or the heater, or the brake, or the engine? Which part of your vehicle is the most important? If you say the engine is the most important, do you drive your car without brake or AC? If you say the tire is the most important, do you drive your car without wheel or seats? We could agree that for us to enjoy driving, all parts of the vehicle are important, right? They are all important. Not one is the most important. Everything is important. Most often we are more attentive to the most important part, and then we relegate the minor or trivial parts into obscurity. Such mindset to know who the most important, who is the greatest, who the greatest is, had also preoccupied the mindset of the disciples. And they asked the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. Let's read together. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That is not what the disciples are expecting, because they were expecting some of them would be among the 12, would be the greatest in heaven. Well, many times we admire achievers, those who accomplished many things, achievements. Those are what we admire. Well, obviously, when you look at children, we have nothing to be envious of them. I don't know if you are envious of them. Maybe you are envious of their drive to eat something, or their agility, or their activeness. I don't know if you are envious of that. But they have no accomplishment, like they have not earned, or they cannot even throw a bowling ball so that they will win the bowling, for example. They are so small. What accomplishment that adults may imbue of children? And yet Christ compared greatness in the kingdom of God to the lowly position of little children. While we admire, wow, he's really good in bowling, wow, he's really good in basketball, wow, he's really good in academics, wow, he had already built a beautiful house, wow, they have already bought a sports car, wow. Those are the things that we are envious of, not the activities of the little children. And parents may have been trying to have more patience running after little children. Remember? Your children are really very active and you cannot even run after them just to feed them. That is not what you want. But how is it that the Lord says, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Why is that? Why did Christ compare the greatness of the kingdom of God to the lowly position of little children? Well, faith in Christ is practically manifested in the transformation like little children. We have to transform from the mindset of being an adult to the mindset of little children. How do little children behave that Christ wants to see in us? They crave for milk. They crave for milk. For infants, mothers experience this. They would wake up almost every 2 hours at night just to give milk to children. So we have to crave for our spiritual milk. What is our spiritual milk? The scripture, the word of God. Together, let's reflect meditatively on what it admonishes us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And children will crave for milk up to, there are even children who crave for milk up to 4 years old. Like little children, we drink our spiritual milk for us to grow spiritually. And we follow the prescription of the Lord diligently in the scripture. As we grow spiritually mature, we want to know more about the will of God. Indirectly, Christ suggests children can have faith to trust in Him. Really? Now, most of the time, we think children cannot understand the gospel. And yet, Christ compared or used little children that we need to be transformed into little children, the mindset for little children for us to become great in the kingdom of heaven. Do you interpret that little children can, that Christ is suggesting that little children can believe in Christ as young as they are? He knows it. Realistically, it is very advisable. If you haven't shared the gospel yet, if you have children, practice sharing the gospel of Christ to little children. Talk about them, tell them, say, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us to enter heaven if we believe in Him. They would ask a lot of why, and then write down those why. Why? Why is it that Christ need to die? Can God not just forgive sinners so that His Son, precious Son, would not be crucified? Those are questions that they would ask, probably. Other people would ask that. How would you answer that? Of course, God can forgive anybody. But the necessity for Christ to be crucified for the forgiveness of sin, that is grand, divine, grand design of salvation. Whatever grand has designed, He has purpose that perhaps we do not even understand. But one thing that the Lord Jesus, why the Lord Jesus was crucified, is that He will learn obedience. He will learn obedience by following His Father. We cannot say, I obey God, unless we obey Him. And He set an example for us that obedience to God is the best thing that ever happened to children of God, and Christ exemplified that on the cross. Now, there are many people there who are argumentative and philosophical. So it is good when you share the gospel to children because they are not very philosophical and not very argumentative yet. They just ask questions. They want to learn. They would ask a lot, endless, why. If you cannot answer that on your own word, write it down and research for it. or as your leaders, attend Sunday school, as your pastor? How would I answer when my children would ask this? And some of us can answer that. If not, then we'll learn together how we will answer. Argumentative and philosophical behaviors, they are repulsive. You don't like that. As children, they were curious. They are inquisitive. They don't argue, as in arguing because they have preference, but they need to understand why they do such and such, or why they need to believe in such and such. Why do they believe that they need Christ or believe in Christ by faith so that they will enter heaven? But one thing that I observed from children, very young children, when they started to walk or started to do something, maybe at toddlers, they also try to help in household chores. When you are washing dishes, they come and help you wash. Well, many parents would not like their children to help them washing dishes because at some point, dishes would be broken because they cannot handle it very accurately. And sometimes, like for example, when you are cooking, children would come, how can I help? How can I help? May I try? They would love that. And those are the moments when you start teaching them and explaining to them patiently. But you need, of course, the Holy Spirit to inspire or give you patience. It's very irritating because sometimes they cannot understand what they are doing, but it is our rule as parents to explain patiently to children why we do household chores or anything useful for life. As children of God, then, we should be curious also. Curiously get involved in ministry activities. Are you curious how you may involve in ministry activities? What do you think? Together, let's learn the different kind of gifts from the same Holy Spirit. In verse 4, we read, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Those gifts that the Spirit distributes are called spiritual gifts. And the church of Corinth, they have problem. Their problem was there were factions, there were divisions among them. And one possible reason why the church in Corinth had no harmony, they had no unity, they were divided, was that they may have different spirit, not one spirit. Division among them practically exhibited that they did not have the same spirit. If we do not have the same spirit, there is division. If there's no harmonious spirit, there is factions. There are factions. The gift of the Spirit distributed in the church manifests the presence of Christ in us. It proves that Christ is active in us. We just cannot say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You need to prove that the Holy Spirit of Christ is in you. It proves also that the grace of God favors us. The Holy Spirit distributes different kinds of gifts to His church as He deems fitting, as He deems necessary. Not everyone in the church have the same, although some have similar, but not everyone has the same spiritual gifts. So you just cannot expect every Christian in the church to be like smiling there at the gate and welcoming everyone with the gift of what is that gift? Encouragement, the gift of encouragement. And we cannot expect everyone to give more finances to the church. Why? Some people give more because they have that gift of giving. Some people do not have that gift of giving. Now, you want the gift of giving? Pray about that. I believe God also grants if you wish to have that gift of giving so that you can give more. What else? Many are elected or nominated, but not everyone would accept their nomination because they are scared being leaders. Why? Because not everyone has that gift of leadership. Although every Christian should be a leader, but what we are talking about gift of leadership is leading more people. Leading one person, that is leadership, but leading the church is another kind. So for us to have harmony in unity in the church, the Holy Spirit distributes the gift for our common good, for us to be involved in the ministry. Well, we talk more about this gift distributed by the same Spirit next Sunday. Next Sunday, we'll talk about that. But can we practically know if the effort we do or the thing that we are involved in the ministry, if we have exerted our human effort or if it is the gift of the Holy Spirit functioning in us? How do we know if it is our own human effort that we are using when we are leading, for example, or when we are ushering, for example, or when we are serving, for example? How do we know if it is the Holy Spirit who inspires us to serve the Lord? For example, there are very talented people. How do we know that it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to come and stand here in front for us to lead the people in singing? How do we know if it is not your talent or if it is the Holy Spirit working in your life as worship leaders? How do you know? How can we practically know, actually? Listen carefully. The result of participation in the ministry can reveal it, can help us know if we have used our human effort, if the Holy Spirit was the one functioning in us. How? When everyone praises the Lord, wow, praise God, we have a wonderful worship today. And like ministry accomplishment, for example, or ministry performance, it practically proves that the spiritual gifts have been utilized. Wow, thank you, Lord, for bringing teachers here. They are good in teaching. God is praised for results. Wow, we had very good bowling fellowship yesterday. Praise God for how He enables everyone to have that talent in winning the bowling fellowship, for example. God is praised. That's the spiritual gift working in our lives. In comparison, when performers get praise, that's human effort exerted. Wow, that person is really good. That person has a really good voice. How about that? Human effort was exerted. When human effort is exerted, there's comparison. Oh, that person has a good voice. That one, not so good. And there's that envy. That person, oh Lord, I want that voice of that person. There's that envy. There's frustration if not appreciated. I did my best to serve, and nobody appreciated me. Even pastors would complain. I read through social media about pastors complaining that they are not appreciating their pastors. It's sad, but it's a reality. There's disappointment for mistakes. Oh, I'm very sorry I did, but it's a mistake. Like, for example, you paint really well, but you miss that. It's a wrong paint that you used. and you are frustrated and disappointed. And there's irritation. Why are they not participating? We are only the ones working here. Where are the others? That's human effort. But if the Holy Spirit, is at work, even if nobody is watching you, you are just enjoying serving the Lord. Even if you, if the service you do is just picking up those clutters left by children, you just enjoy, not trying to be kind like Superman or Superwoman, but you know that you need to also let the church building be presentable, more presentable. And nobody knows what you are doing because you sense that fulfillment much, much deeper than appreciation of humans. Listen, when Christ is at work in us, the result, we praise God. Thank God. We are thankful. We are thankful. We are doing it out of gratitude of the heart, not because we want appreciation. Well, if others would appreciate, that would be just a bonus. But we don't seek that. When God is praised, joyfully praised, the gift of the Holy Spirit are actively utilized. There's no competition when the Holy Spirit is active among us. Just you look at your body. When your mouth is just eating, cherishing the food you want to eat, your hand would not say, "Mouth, you're always eating. How about me?" We don't. The hands would just keep on giving the mouth something, because the body would grow stronger as the hand would feed the mouth. Or the eyes wanted to see the scenery. Eyes, you're not doing anything. You're just watching there. But you feel good when you see like flying geese. Wow, those geese are flying. You want the geese flying, not geese walking on the street when you are driving. You don't like that. Or listening, you appreciate. Similarly, we are the body of Christ. And each of us contribute and use our spiritual gifts. There's no competition in when the Holy Spirit is active among us. Instead, we praise the Lord for each other's performance. When one is performing, when one is singing beautifully, wow, thank you, Lord, for bringing this person. He had a beautiful voice, bringing in this church. When one is cleaning, wow, that person is really good. Thank you, Lord, for how you bless his life, that he may continue to serve you. When the leaders are actively more involved, wow, Lord, thank you for giving that person that joy to accept his, her nomination. That is the Holy Spirit at work in us. Together, let us reflect on how Apostle Paul viewed the ministry of Apostle Peter. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul declared, "For God was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles." Now, this is a letter, the letter of Apostle Paul to the Galatians. And he just want to mention Apostle Peter. Well, the circumcised pertains to the Jewish people, and Gentiles, if they are not non-Jewish, they are Gentiles. We are Gentiles if you have no Jewish blood in you. You are considered Gentile. That's how the scripture describes us. Well, Paul admitted that Peter was more effective to the Jewish people than him. How is that? Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, had a doctorate in Jewish laws, whereas Peter was a fisherman, ordinary fisherman. And yet Peter, an ordinary fisherman, was more effective among the Jewish people. Whereas this Apostle Paul, who had doctorate in Jewish laws, was not very effective to the Jewish people. And Paul admitted that. But he was effective to the Gentiles. And Peter was not very effective to the Gentiles. Initially, Paul tried to minister to Jewish people. He wanted to save some of his people. But later, he focused on his mission works among the Gentiles. Now, maybe you have experienced that. You think that this is the ministry you have for you, but the Lord did not give you much your involvement was not very productive, and you want to try other mission or ministry. Most often, our focus may confuse us. Why? Well, let me share my own experience. When I started practicing my faith in Christ, I read several missionary stories, and I was inspired. I want to serve the Lord in missions. So initially, I presumed that I was called into mission. Indeed, I joined short-term missions. And all the more, I was convinced, as if the Lord was saying, serve me full-time, and I will provide for you, as if the Lord was speaking through my heart. So I prayed. We went to full-time missions as a family, actually. As a family, we went. I was not scared. I told you before. We went to missions, overseas missions, with only $300 in our pocket. Why? I was not scared. Why? Because I had that confirmation in my heart that the Lord would provide. And indeed, we went home. We went back to the Philippines without spending. I spent less than 300, but not more than 100 of the pocket money that we had. In that, I proved God provided for us, for five members of the family. $300, would you go abroad? But only for 30 months that we were in overseas mission. Why? There was longing in my heart. Lord, I want to serve you much longer. So I interpreted that I need to be here a longer time in this mission. But the mission point we went to, there was no provision for us to have permanent residency. Every year we go out of the border to renew our visa. And I am not very appreciative with that. I don't like going outside. So I interpreted that maybe the Lord has prepared another mission point where I can celebrate Him all my life. Now I can confirm that God had prepared where I am right now to serve Him full time. God is praised. In my prayer that God would always remember, help me remember that it's Him who brought us here. So that I will always praise Him all the days of my life. As long as we are here, I will praise Him. I will thank Him. I will talk about what He has done in our lives. I will testify of His goodness, because He's very real in our life. There was great conviction in my heart that God called me to follow Him all the days of my life. How it started? When I was reading the calling of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Every time I read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, I remember the first time I said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. In verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into great nations and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. When it says, go from your country, I did not pay attention much of that. I tried. I applied for pastorate back in the Philippines and for at local churches there. And they even interviewed me. They asked. Some people are even recommending me to other churches. But I did not try to force the issue. I wait for the Lord. I wait. Confidently, I can testify that several times the Lord blesses people who bless me. Wherever I go, wherever I am, He blesses people who bless me. And I am not bothered much when people are not kind to me. He had promised. I truly believe that God will take care of them. So keep reading the scripture. If you want to hear very clearly when the Lord calls your name to serve Him full time now or later, keep reading. When the Lord speaks, He speaks very clearly. You do not have any doubt, because when the Lord speaks, it's very clear. You will have the peace, tranquility, and joy in your heart to follow Him, because it's the Holy Spirit who would speak in your heart. Well, how can we pragmatically confirm that the Lord called us to serve Him in particular ministry, for example? Nobody can confirm at the beginning of the ministry. You cannot say at the beginning of ministry, this is the ministry God called me. You cannot say that, because it doesn't happen. Paul did not try to minister to the Jewish, but God said, you are not supposed to be there. You are supposed to be with the Gentiles. But that was his desire. He just wanted to serve the Lord among the Jewish people. But God did not give him much effectiveness among Jewish people. But when the Lord allows us to stay longer in a ministry with peace and gladness, it is when we confirm the kind of service that the Lord prepared for us to serve Him. When you are staying in that ministry for a longer time, nobody may have appreciated you. You stay there still, want to serve the Lord. That is when you know the Lord called me here. You can say that. So get involved in ministries that you may sense urgency. Like, I want to be in that ministry. Go ahead, try it. Get involved. But when you sense that contentment, that tranquility, that peace, that cheerfulness in your ministry participation, and you praise God, that is the kind of service He has designed for you. You will learn that. Let's read again verse 5 of our passage. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now, to serve a master, for you who are employed, to serve your employers, to serve your boss, or for you students to obey what your teachers are saying, or even children, when your parents are telling you to do this and that, that's serving a master. And that is a denial of freedom to mindset. If you decide to do things on your own volition, I want to do things this, and my parents would say, do this. I want to play my computer, but my parents say, study your lesson. You don't like that. There's this deprivation of independence, so to say. You cannot appreciate serving the Lord if you have that desire to do things on your own volition. Yet Christ expects Christians to serve Him. The scripture, we have a lot of commands serving the Lord. So where does free will then fit in? Where is our free will? If the Lord still dictates to us what we need to do, instinctively, human free will, listen carefully, human free will is inclined to resist, to oppose the commands of God. That is human free will. Opposing the will of God, that is human free will. When by faith we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, He freed us from the slavery of sin. And when we accepted Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, we become servants of godly righteousness. We don't obey human free will anymore. Therefore, we follow Christ, not our human instinct, not our human free will. Together, let's reflect on what it commands in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The same Holy Spirit of Christ distributes different kinds of gifts among us as He deems fitting, as He deems necessary, to help us be effective in the kinds of service that the Lord prepared for us to participate in. God wants us to participate in the ministry He prepared for us, not what we want. The Lord is praised, God is praised through Jesus Christ when we obey Him. Most often we are not very sure which ministry we should get involved to serve God. Of course, I mentioned that earlier. We prefer to join where we are comfortable, right? Where we think we are effective, and we reject ministries we assume we are not able. If we think, I cannot do that. And God might have been calling you to form another worship team. And you respond, I don't have musical talents. I don't have beautiful voice like the young people. I don't have that. God calls you to teach, and you say, I don't even have children. Or my children are grown up, so why? Or God calls you to leadership ministry in your channel. I am introvert. I'm very shy. I'm scared of standing before a crowd. Well, that's good. When you recognize your weaknesses, it's very good, actually. When we look at our ability, we always find reason to refuse the Lord. When we look at our ability and don't want to participate because we think are not able, that is actually confession, admitting our limitation. That is valid, that is natural, human instinct. Admitting our limitation is confession that should lead us to seek the help of God. Lord, you want me to be a song leader or worship member of the worship team, and I don't have any musical talent. I do not even play the guitar or even the tambourine or drum, and I cannot even sing. I just hum. Why not? Help me, Lord. Help me find. Maybe you can find your talent in playing the piano. You do not need to sing. You can play the piano. I know of a president retired at 70, 72, and started learning piano. In his ministry, playing piano while his wife played the harp. And they went to a home for the aged. He was playing the piano, and his wife playing the harp. At their old age, advanced years, So when you say you are very old and you do not need to learn guitar or something, you might be surprised when you discover your talent and say, why did I not start at very young age? I'm really good in this. Try that. Find your talent. Discover your talent. When the Holy Spirit is active, He enables us to seek His inspiration. Whatever you think you are not able to do, ask the Lord. I can tell you, testify, and I testify many times before, I told my girlfriend, you cannot see me standing at the end in that pulpit. And you can see me now standing behind the pulpit. I admitted I cannot because I was very shy. When I was young, I don't know, my youngest sister was not born yet, but I was 7 at the time, I think. My father would let me stand on a pedestal, on a table. He was a politician, and he would teach me how to speak before a crowd and said, follow me. Ladies and gentlemen, he was so, and follow after me. And I would say, ladies and gentlemen. No, that's not the way. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Because I was crying and he did not like it. I was so scared. That was me. Now, when we admit our weaknesses, our limitation, it is when we know we need the help of the Lord. When the Holy Spirit is active and your name is nominated to the leadership ministry, next Sunday we'll be nominating. You will receive the letters that your name will be nominated. Pray about that and learn from Daniel, Prophet Daniel. When the Israelites were exiled, it should have been a huge insult to their pride as God's chosen people. As the Israelites believed, our Lord, our God, is the only God, the mighty, powerful God who created heaven and earth. They are very proud of that, but the Babylonians took them captives. So where is that powerful, mighty God that you are saying? Nevertheless, Daniel never wavered in his faith even while he was in exile. He resolved to do anything acceptable to the Lord. And when the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, ordered the officials to choose young men from the exiles to be trained to serve him, Daniel and his friends were chosen together. Well, let's reflect on what it narrated in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief officials for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God has caused the officials to show favor and compassion to Daniel. Now, think about this. You were in exile. You are deprived. You are deprived even for food. And now they are giving you food, royal food. You know how royals or rich people would lavish their food, prepare their food. They are very tempting and you want to taste every delicacy. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself. He resolved to follow the Lord's prescription. He resolved not to defile himself of any food, any drink, not prescribed by the Lord. If the Lord did not say that I would eat it, I would not eat it. That term resolve is interpreted that Daniel had trusted the Lord's prescription as the best for him. I would rather follow the Lord than to eat those things. It is better for me than those royal food and wine. Being in exile, it could have been the most embarrassing situation for the Israelites, but Daniel resolved to do what is right before the Lord, before God. And so, what happened? Daniel rose to prominence in his serve as administrator one of the highest officials in exile for, some people say four kings, or others say four kings. He served there as royal official. What situation do you have that causes you to refuse your calling to leadership? What is it that prevents you from accepting your nomination? Personally, how do you practically apply what it declares in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 6? God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he may lift you up in due time. Humility is a great asset for church leadership. It is godly humility to depend on the Lord. How is that? When we admit that we are not gifted, when we admit that we do not have that ability to be leaders, but seek, Lord, empower me. Seek the Holy Spirit, empower me. I want to serve you. I want to serve you. The church that nominated me, and I want to serve you. Empower me. Give me that joy. Give me that peace to accept this. That is the humility that the Lord needs. In comparison, if we accept, I was nominated, and I know people would vote me because I am popular, does it prove dependence on the Lord or dependence on your popularity? What kind of working is that? Let's read again verse 6 of our passage. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. That kind of working pertains to accomplishment, to attainment, to achievements, performance. Listen carefully. Anything attained by human effort, any achievement accomplished by human initiative, is not considered great in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. How? When you heard someone say, I'm doing this for the Lord, you heard that. People encouraged, let's do this for the Lord. I am serving the Lord. That I pronoun, the pronoun I, represents who? The pronoun I represents myself, not the Lord. I initiated the service. I did my best. God did the rest. Logically, if I did my best, the best appreciation belongs to whom? To I, not the Lord. And if God did the rest, God deserves only the rest of appreciation. It's wrong. That's wrong. That's not what the Lord wants from us. Reflect again on 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. God may use our ability. God may use our talent. God, he can use that. But if we know that we did something not because we desired it, but because God inspired us, we have that joy doing it. We praise God. We praise God. God is praised when we, as a church, harmoniously serve different kinds of working, utilizing different kinds of gift, distributed by the same Spirit, and different kinds of service. And the same Holy Spirit empowers us, inspires us to serve him in unity. He gives us that peace. He gives us that tranquility, that joy. If there's irritation, if there's disappointment, know that it is the human effort exerted. Ministry service by human volition, by human initiative, they are not pleasing to God. Actually, human righteousness is considered filthy rags before God. Can you accept that? What is filthy rags? It is biblical truth. Let's reflect on Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. All of us has become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Many are confused and presume that their goodness will save them on Judgment Day. Well, I did more goodness than bad things. Politicians donate much money to charity thinking that they can pay back their wickedness. Yet the scripture declares everyone is sinful and human righteousness is considered and rejected as filthy rags. Human righteousness then, as filthy rag, is sin. Sin is compared to filthy rags. Why? In biblical times, even before commercial diapers were manufactured, rags or old clothes were used as diapers. Have you tried that? Who tried using flour sacks for diapers of their children? For infants, when our first child came out, actually I was the one who washed that filthy rags by hands because we did not have a washing machine at the time. I did. Those are stories that I can share because it happened. And even the women during monthly period, they use filthy rags or old clothes. Did you? Oh, there was a time, I feel very sorry, this is a true story. That person happened to be very rich in their younger years. They grow old, their parents died. They squandered the money of their family. And that older lady, actually came to Maribel and asked for old clothes. Why? I use it for diaper or for monthly period like that. It's a sad story. But it happened. Do you wish to keep filthy rags, filthy diapers as souvenir? Ew. That's disgusting, right? Do you expect then that God keep disgusting things for himself? No! Biblically, human righteousness is also disgusting filthy rags to the Lord. That is compared to filthy diaper to the Lord. Human righteousness. Human righteousness is not valuable to the Lord. If by human initiative, human volition, we add righteous deeds upon righteous deeds, they are zero value to God. Even other people cannot appreciate human righteousness. How? Now, you are doing righteousness. Listen carefully. You have your old cell phone. And second hand, because you already bought the newest cell phone. And then here comes the richest billionaire. Who is the richest billionaire now? He comes here. I don't know why, but he just come and then say, "Hey, billionaire, come here." You ask him, "Why?" "I want you to have my second-hand cell phone." Second-hand cell phone. That is good, right? Giving is good, right? What do you expect to that person, that billionaire? What would he do when you give that second-hand cell phone? You're trying to insult him, right? That is how our righteous act, filthy rags, before the Lord. God can create anything he wants. He does not need anything from us. He does not need our help. So our human righteousness cannot reach the glorious God, the glory of God. Reflect on Romans chapter 3:23. It says, this is from Complete Jewish Bible. All have sinned and come short of earning God's praise. In NIV, come short, fall short of the glory of God. But in complete Jewish Bible, that's the translation. Humans lower their standard just for someone to feel good. That's pretension. It's like when someone is doing something, oh, you did a good job, you did a good job, good job, good job. Like, for example, parents, think about this. If who is your favorite basketball player? Michael Jordan? Yes, Michael Jordan for now. Really good, and his nephew would come in, hey, Michael, Uncle Michael, come and watch me. And he would shoot a layup or dunk or something. What do you think, Uncle Michael? Michael Jordan would say, oh, you're very good, you're really good. Would you expect him to say that? He's just trying to pretend that he appreciates it when you know that Michael Jordan does much, much, far, far better than what that boy did. And we do that many times to our children because we try to lower our standards just to pretend that we appreciate. God doesn't lower his standard for us to appreciate us. His standards, we need to reach that standard. And we cannot. We can only reach the standard of God through Jesus Christ. So how can our righteousness become valuable to God? Righteous effort done by faith in Jesus Christ is what he accepts. Now, this is just for illustration's sake. I hope that this illustration will only be the one that you would remember after this very long sermon. For example, it says our righteousness, human righteousness, is not valuable to God. It is zero, right? Zero. You do more. How much is that? Zero. Again, you do again. How much is that? Still zero. How much zero you add is still zero. And there is only one thing acceptable to the Lord by faith in Christ. That's the only one acceptable to the Lord. And what he did on the cross, that is only what is acceptable to the Lord. What we do after we believe in Christ, what is it to the Lord? Still zero. Because it says righteousness is filtered, still zero. Serve the Lord in ministry, still zero to the Lord. You sing in the worship, still zero to the Lord. But can you observe it? This is not very wise illustration, but I hope you would understand it. After one, every zero counts. Right? Every thing that we do after we believe in Jesus Christ counts. Not before zero, right? Only by faith in Christ that our righteousness becomes acceptable to the Lord. The more righteousness we do through faith in Jesus Christ, they are recorded in the book of life for our eternal dwelling. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind what Christ warned us in Revelation 22, verse 12, he said, look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what they have done, what we have done after we believe in Jesus Christ, what we do by faith in Jesus Christ. That is what it means. So let all our kindness, goodness count for our reward. So prayerfully know the kind of spiritual gift the Lord, the Holy Spirit, distributed to you. And gladly serve the Lord. Prayerfully seek empowerment of the Holy Spirit and participate in the kind of working and service the Lord prepared for you, that the Lord will reward when Christ returns. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, this reminds us that the Lord Jesus will return sooner. We are warned to proclaim his death and his resurrection. Even now, as our leaders would come and join me here, take this time and pray, thank God for the eternal life he has given us.